This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
The Burt Show.
So Jen brought it to our attention yesterday that David Hasselhoff, A, on one side, it's kind of sad because it seems like every time we're talking about dude now, he's hammered in one shape, way, shape, or form, you know? And it happened again a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, this is at the MTV Europe Music Awards, and they were talking about the celebration. Melissa told us about it yesterday, the celebration of the anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down. It was, what, 20?
20 years.
20-year anniversary. So that's what he's talking about here, but he's definitely slurring through it all.
Oh, and remember, oh, I'm sorry, honey. And remember, he's a huge sensation in Germany, too, so I think that's another reason why.
And he's speaking German a little bit in here. And then,
are you sure
when he's supposed to say when he's supposed to say that he is presenting the award? Listen to what he says.
I've been looking for freedom. Yo. Wow. 20 years, huh? All this cloud. I am not responsible for the wall coming down. The East Germans are responsible for the wall coming down. They are responsible for the wall coming down because they believed in freedom.
Braveheart.
And they never gave up. Hi. Wie geht's, good? Wie geht's, good? Alles klar. Tonight, I'm here to represent the Best Rock Award. Now, the nominees are...
No, you're here to present, not represent.
Wow. Yeah, and I've been there before, too, where you're just so convinced in your own head, if you just slow down the words, that it's going to make perfect sense.
Nobody's
for everybody,
tell.
Right?
Well, everybody stumbles and everybody screws up, but it did seem, you know, he appears to be intoxicated for sure.
So I listened to that yesterday, and I realized that if you slow down the audio, you can make anybody sound drunk. So here is Lady Gaga pimping her new album, Slow Down. She was fine at the time, but if you slow it down, you can make her sound drunk.
There's two deluxe editions, and actually the packaging is going to be running and changing over the next year. So for the Super Gaga fans, you can collect all different kinds of covers. For those of you who have my record and you know don't want to buy the old one again, you can go on iTunes and you can just complete.
You can make anybody sound drunk. All right, John Gosselin and Haley Glassman bicker on camera, both drunk. When we slow it down.
Even when I'm sitting in this interview and I hear you talk saying that you're going to be more honest and loyal, I roll my eyes like the rest of the world.
Oh my God.
What do you want?
I don't know. I don't want to do this.
Oh my God.
Well, this whole thing's uncomfortable. I don't like it. I mean, you're telling me out there that you love me and you want to be with me, and then...
But it's not healthy.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
Are you able to do that? How did Josh do
loaded
it?
I have no idea how the equipment around here works.
Oh, hilarious.
It's like a big party on Friday night.
Oh, my God. That's wonderful.
Here's Laura Bush telling Jay Leno what's on her iPod. When she slowed down, she sounds hammered.
I think they might be surprised to know that I'm a Rastafarian and I have Bob Marley on my iPod.
That's hilarious.
This is Larry King asking Mariah Carey about having kids, drunk.
Do you want to have children?
Yes. But this particular moment, by this particular moment, I mean this month or next month, I'm...
out of control.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. That's great.
And finally, Barack Obama on the health care bill passing through the House. He's hammered.
Years we've been told that this couldn't be done. After all, neither chamber of Congress has been able to pass a comprehensive health insurance reform bill for generations.
He's been pushed to this point.
But last night, the House proved differently.
Oh my God,
that's great.
It's true.
You can
deal
with anybody.
You gotta do that to us.
Well, half the time we come in here, I think we are drunk.
Oh, you have to do. I think that'd be funny.
Take any break specifically.
Yes.
Any break that we've talked about.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
Down. And randomly, we'll come in here from time to time and go, "Jen must have been drunk yesterday," and just play something from yesterday's show.
Only if you're included.
Oh no. The Burt Show. Quinn Grace. This is a hard story to follow here because it's just so unbelievable. And this is right off the Today Show yesterday, and it starts off with her, like, in an Academy Award acting job here because she is sequestered in that room, and she is getting interrogated.
Uh-huh.
She's balling, man.
This is the woman who tried to fake her own abduction.
Right. She's been gone for, what, 4 days, was it?
I think so.
And now she's in the police station, this is real audio, okay? And they're just trying to get they're concerned. You know, they just found her.
Yeah, she's been abducted.
And she's just going Academy Award on him, okay?
911, what's your emergency?
This is 911. That's my bad. This was the 911 call that started the whole thing. I think this is when she's initially calling saying she's gotten kidnapped.
911, what's your emergency? My name is Quinn Grace.
Quinn Gray had disappeared from the couple's multi-million-dollar seaside mansion near Jacksonville, Florida. A frightening 4 days of forced captivity and sexual assault.
I pretty much thought that I was dead. I pretty much thought that I was part of like a slave trade or something like that, and that they were going to come in.
That's the interrogation room.
On the dining room table, the ransom note that Gray told authorities her abductor forced her to write to her husband. There are three men holding me right now, and they want $50,000 cash. But the St. Johns County Sheriff, David Shore, insists it was all an elaborate hoax.
We truly believe it was not a kidnapping, and we truly feel as though we have the evidence to prove that.
Gray was arrested for trying to extort $50,000 from her husband, a successful business owner making close to $1 million a year.
If I wanted $50,000, all I would do is take it out of the bank account.
In the police interrogation room, Gray was at times emotionally overwhelmed. Later, describing her alleged kidnapper to detectives.
Yeah, his eyes were big like that. Big. Huge. More hair. Higher.
That man is Jasmine Osmanovic, a Bosnian immigrant. But authorities say Osmanovic wasn't Quinn Gray's kidnapper, but her accomplice and lover.
Okay, so she's sitting in front of a laptop with a detective. And he must be graphically trying to figure out exactly what the kidnapper looks like. So she's describing this guy that ended up being her accomplice. Okay?
Was that part of the plan?
Listen on.
Osmanovic is now behind bars facing extortion charges. And complicating this bizarre case of he said, she said, a salacious 90-minute audio tape of Osmanovic and Gray, secretly recorded by Osmanovic and obtained by NBC News. It captures the sounds of the two having sex, as well as rehearsing their stories about the kidnapping.
That's why I'm starting to feel like I'm the sinister one in this family.
Quinn Gray's lawyers say she was suffering from an untreated, undiagnosed manic phase of bipolar disorder, and that in her poor mental condition, she believed Osmanovic's story that her husband owed Osmanovic $50,000.
I was crazy then. I mean, I was just doing what I was told to do. You have to understand that.
For now, Quinn Gray is being treated at a mental health facility in Georgia, a condition of her release from jail.
What do you want to say to your family? Do you have an apology to your family? I love you, and I hope to see you soon.
All right, so we follow her along here. This guy makes $1 million. Her husband makes $1 million a year, right? She ends up kidnapping herself with this other dude.
Right.
And then
her lover.
Her Bosnian lover.
The mechanic.
And by the way, they have all those tapes because the lover was taping everything.
Right.
Just in case.
Yeah, because he didn't want her to then pin it on him.
Right. So he's taping everything, right? So they end up busting him, and her defense is she was nutty. she has some kind of bipolar disorder. She didn't even know what she was doing. That the lover story was that.
I must have been crazy. I'm sorry. I must have been crazy.
Yeah. She fell victim to her lover.
Right. The lover story is that dude owes him $50,000. So he takes her for ransom. And because she's bipolar and not thinking clearly, she totally believes the story. What a crock. So the husband is actually sticking by the wife, though.
This is
because
what I
the
can't
husband
believe.
Came out and said that he had been unfaithful in the past and it caused this mental cruelty to her. So he's sticking with her.
This is the husband now on the Today Show with Matt Lauer speaking out. He is sticking by his woman. He totally believes that she was going through this mental bipolar thing and doesn't know what she was doing.
First of all, it's been a roller coaster of emotion from the onset. There are times when initially when you sit in front of the FBI and they present you evidence that that she was the mastermind of this, and you have no choice but to believe that entirely at that point. After the last 8 weeks, you come to really understand what really happened. I believe in all of my heart she was kidnapped. I also believe at some point, I'm not sure exactly when, she believed that she needed to be a part of this. It was hard for me to understand when or why that happened. Devastating, to say the least. But I'm standing by her now because I believe that she has a mental illness, and that's why we are here.
And apparently she had abused alcohol for a long time in the past, too. So they were saying that led to some of her mental instability.
Yeah, he feels like some of his infidelity contributed to her alcoholism. So he's dealing with that guilt also. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, I might have been sort of at the seat of this whole thing, so maybe I caused it. So he's sticking by her. Now, there is a 90-minute tape of his wife having sex with this other dude. And this dude taped the whole thing. And the husband here listened to the entire tape. He listened to all of it. This is Matt Lauer asking him about it.
And I have to be honest, Reed, in my listening to it, it did not sound as if she was an unwilling participant in that sexual encounter. When you listen to it, do you think she's being forced to have sex?
I feel a couple things are happening. I feel that she's definitely participating. I'm not sure after four days of being with this person what she believes and what she doesn't believe, but I agree with you. There are times when I just want to shut it off and be finished with the whole thing, but I have to remember that there are many times when I heard his voice and him saying things that I believe he knew I would hear this audio tape at some point as well.
That's a long time.
Wow. An hour and a half?
Do they only know each other for 4 days?
I don't know their history. I'm not really sure. But listen, did you hear what he said at the very end also? That the dude was like taunting her husband.
In the tape?
In the tape. Yeah. So this guy's listening to his wife having sex with another man, and the man she's having sex with is taunting husband.
They're both crazy because there's no way I'm going to watch an hour and a half of...
I don't know if it was audio or if it was video, but either way, I couldn't listen to it for 30 seconds.
No.
90 minutes. Yeah.
It's just so surprising that he's sticking with her.
He says that. I think that he's just feeling like he's contributed to it. Now, he's saying he wants to rebuild the whole family here.
I don't know what will happen. And again, I listen to these tapes and I think about a marriage and I have to put that to the side. And I have to think about my two children and my role as a father. And I have to think about my role as her husband and what I need as a family member to do for her through this next portion of the next weeks or months. The marriage part will definitely come later, but initially I have to care for her because of the state that she's in right now.
Whoa.
Do you think that, because you always talk about men and women and manipulation, because I always think that if the guy's done something wrong and then the woman stays by her man, that she's manipulated that. Like, I'm staying here, but here's leverage. And, you give me what I want.
That I've got a pass.
Right. I'm curious if that's what he's doing.
Well, I'd say the slate is clean now.
They're both even.
I'd say it's totally clean.
Wow.
That's like a soap opera.
How do you get over that? Now, we've asked you guys before, like, tell us what obstacles you had in your relationship that we would never believe that you got over. I would ask the same question today, but there's nobody going to beat that story.
No way. Is that a challenge?
No. It can't be done.
The Burt Show.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
All right, things got really serious on the show yesterday, so let's take a step back because we got a whole bunch of people calling this morning and emailing about Glenda.
I'm actually in an abusive relationship right now, and I can't tell you how many times that I've actually left and come back and left and come back. Mm-hmm. And I tell myself, you know, that he's going to change, things are going to get better, but, you know, they don't get better, and he doesn't change. And, you know, when you love somebody, you just, you know, you want that person to change and things to be great because you do love that person.
Is he physically abusive with you?
Yeah, he's physically and mentally abusive to me.
I think so many people connected with that yesterday, mm-hmm. and that's why we received so many emails and calls this morning from people just checking in going, hey, what's going on with Glenda?
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday it got heavy because we put her in touch with Jaden's Ladder.
Yes, and Onita Bobbitt is the founder of Jaden's Ladder, and she has been a survivor of domestic violence herself. So we know Onita, and Bert and I helped out with a big fundraiser they had over the weekend, so it was top of mind to just call and get her on the phone.
Hey, Onita.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
We're tired. It's all good.
Did you hear from Glenda yesterday?
I did, and we're helping her. You know, I gave her an exit plan for right now. And I'm going to speak with her again today. I spoke with her twice yesterday. She's supposed to call me back today about 10, and we're going to get her out. We're going to financially support her and get her some emotional help so that she, with some therapist, and get her, you know, so that she can be healthy and realize that she doesn't have to go back.
How quickly can you execute that exit plan?
You know, because of what, if she's ready to go, we're ready to go. Because of what we do in our program, we have, you know, because of what you guys did this weekend to help raise funds, our funds are unrestricted for any needs that she has, whether it's put her up in a hotel for a while, get her housing, and more importantly, get her that emotional support and financial support, we can do it.
It must seem like such a huge mountain when you're in that situation that taking the very first step seems like almost impossible because it's such a long road ahead. Is that why people can't get out? Because they just feel like, yeah, I'll take the first step, but I mean, I just don't want to deal with it. It's such a long process.
You know what, Bert? You hit it on the head because what we try to tell our survivors at this point is not to look at the picture and to take baby steps because it becomes overwhelming and then they get afraid and then they back off and then they go back to the abuser. Mm-hmm. To take baby steps, and what we're here along the way, and if there's any friends that are there that can support them, during that period, and just make sure that they know that you're there to help them no matter what, they will make it through this process. But don't allow them to see this big, big journey ahead of them. It's these little baby journeys that make that big journey.
If we were using Glenda yesterday as, like, the example, how many women will call you for help and then not follow up the next day?
You know, speaking with Glenda, she's that I know just that's going to do it. I really believe after speaking with her for, you know, for about 30 minutes, she's going to do it. She has the strength to do it. The process, the calls that I get, probably about 70% will not make that leap because they're too afraid and they go back. But the numbers go lower and lower because as many times as they go back, they realize they hit their rock bottom and they will make that turn, hopefully. Mm-hmm. You know, I went back 7 times, like I said, and my family gave up on me. But it was rock bottom when I saw that it affected a family member. My sister's husband, you know, he went after him with a gun, and that's when I was like, I can't do this to them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we value other people's lives more than we value our own.
And the women that work with Jaden's Ladder have to promise not to go back to their abuser. Is that right?
Jen, you're right. It's a one-time-only program, and that's why we make it that way, so that they realize it's very serious. The assistance we give them is you know, we give them financial assistance to get them out, monthly stipends, helping with schools. We'll sit down and reassess them and see that if they need more schooling so that they can, in 2 years, be okay to be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And so it's a major, major program that if they realize what they're getting, and if they don't do the work, it's just one time only, and then, you know, that's it. And so they realize the importance of it.
Right.
And do the best that they can.
Good morning, Maria. You are part of The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. I'm already emotional.
God bless you.
My sister is in that same situation, but it's not only her. It's her three kids as well. Mm. And she's left. And then she comes back. He promises he's not going to do it again. But it's not only emotional and physical, it's also sexual. Mm-hmm. And he always threatens that he's going to kill himself. He'll put a gun to his head. I mean, when the kids see him, they're trembling in fear. And we don't know how to get her out of that situation.
Can you have her call me?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay, but they have my number, and I'll give it out again, 603-205-4746. You have her call me, and I will talk to her. I will try to meet with her. You know, I understand how emotional that is for you, because it's so hard for the families to stand there and watch mm-hmm. something like this happen. Mm-hmm. But I'm begging you to stay with her and to stay positive with her and be that friend, be that relative that doesn't let go, because she really is going to need your support.
Yeah, Glenda was telling us yesterday.
To stay with her.
Glenda mm-hmm. was telling us yesterday that her son bailed on her, you know, at this point. But I can sort of understand it also, because at some point you can only watch the abuse so long before you're like, I can't be, how much more of this can I take? You won't let me help you, you know?
You know, and in actuality, for Glenda's son to bail on her, it's probably a great push for her, because after talking to her, you know, I know that that's going to motivate her a little bit mm-hmm. more, so that she can get that trust back from her son. Like yeah. I said, a lot of these women, they don't come back. They don't make that move until it affects their children or affects another family member. It's just really, really amazing. They won't protect themselves, but they'll protect others. And so, you know, just have her call me. I will try to talk her through this and see where she's at with this and see what we can do.
Here's Ashley. Good morning, Ashley. You're on Q100.
Hi, I have a question for Anita.
Sure.
Yes.
How do you help someone that doesn't want the help?
You don't. If they don't want it, I can't do much about it. It's the people that call in to the Burt Show that are seeking the help. They don't know the direction they want to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know what resources are out there. Those are the people that are ready for the help. What I've learned in this organization is that I can't seek the people that want the help. And mm-hmm. and if you have a friend that is, you know, you're telling them that they're being abused, and they're like, no, I'm not. You can't help them right now. And it's really sad, but
I mean,
you can't
even
help
if you know, they've already
you
been
know?
To the hospital with broken mm-hmm. bones, and they have three children, and you just have to watch them.
You know, I think the key thing for you is to always be there. I know that it's hard. You know, you see all this happening, and always have some resources there. Give her. You know, it's interesting. I've had a survivor that just graduated, and her mother gave her our brochure, and she had it on her desk for a year before she called me, and she was ready to make that change, and she just graduated this past June. So there is that hope out there. Give them resources, leave things on their desk, get books for them. You know, go to Barnes and Noble, find domestic violence books. There's a whole section on it. Leave codependency books. Leave these books on their desk and in their homes. And they'll pick it up and they'll read it. Leave pamphlets of shelters or Jaden's Ladder. I can send you a bunch of brochures that they know that they can make the call when they're ready.
And all this information, because we're getting a whole bunch of calls saying, how can people help? Right over to jadensladder.org. All right, Anita, keep us posted on Glenda, because I know we're going to get a ton of emails and a ton mm-hmm. of calls that are from people that really sort of feel like they're living it with her and have been through the same situation. So let us know she's okay, okay?
We're going to do the best we can. Thank you, guys. You guys
Thank
are amazing.
You.
Thanks,
Thank
Anita.
You.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, that's jadensladder.org.
This is The Burt Show. This is The Burt Show.
Says Burt Show. I'm writing this from an anonymous email address. I'm not looking for help. I'm actually giving advice based on some bad advice your show gave me.
No.
I can't remember how long ago it was, but the show got into some debate on how you might be able to make a bad lover a better lover. One of the suggestions that was mentioned by a caller was to buy some porn and have your man learn some new moves. Sounded great. My husband is good at many things. Ask him to fix a sink, no problem. Something wrong with the car, done. But sex, not so much.
Oh.
He's clumsy, he's too fast, he's too rough, the sex is routine, we were having sex less, and I was taking care of myself more, and he noticed. However, he's really sensitive. Having a talk with him about his lack of talent wasn't an option. I struggled with the right words to say for months. I came up with nothing that wouldn't hurt him, so I just started purchasing some porn, thinking he'd pick up some new moves. And he watched, and he watched, and we watched. He is now just a new kind of clumsy, a new kind of too fast, and a new kind of too rough.
Oh, no. Oh.
Backfired.
The biggest problem, I got to be careful with this. The biggest problem is that he's trying all the nastiest scenes in the movies thinking it's working for me.
Oh, no.
The foul language he's now using is too graphic and gross. He's slapping parts of his body on my forehead.
Oh, no.
And face that are inappropriate.
Well, he's definitely adventurous.
I just picture this.
Step it on up there, son. Go get your woman.
Does that ever work?
Slap
him on the forehead?
No.
Come on. Are you really even asking that
question? Then it shouldn't be allowed in a movie.
Come on.
Then it shouldn't be allowed in a movie.
A lot of things shouldn't be allowed
in
a movie.
I'm sorry, but if you're trying to learn moves from all that,
get a book.
Slapping it on the forehead.
And her face.
That's awful.
I think that's when she wrote the email after that final straw right there. She must have been like,
why wouldn't you stop right there and say,
because
what
now
are you
she's
doing?
Between a rock and a hard place at this point.
What do you care to be sensitive?
Well, she can't talk to her husband about sex.
I'd
obviously.
Say 75% of couples don't talk to each other about sex if it's bad. It's
because
like taboo.
It is a sensitive topic. Well, totally. I think it's so. Everybody is supposed to be good in bed, and then if you feel insecure about it, you don't want to bring it up. If you feel somebody else is insecure, it's just awkward all around.
Therapist in the bedroom.
We have received that advice though before. Like, go ahead, get some porn, watch it with your man. He'll pick up on some new moves.
Porn's
and
stupid.
He just picked up on the nastiest stuff. He went from like the most remedial moves to the way advanced class, and he's just not ready for that. Poor little thing.
Well, and her problem was she let him pick it out.
Oh, so she should have picked it out?
She should have picked out the movies, because then she could have previewed them for the right moves.
Oh my God.
She wanted
I
to
think
learn.
She did the way it was written here. It sounds like she brought it home.
I am still stuck on the image of somebody
slapping
their junk on somebody's face.
Shouldn't she have previewed it before she showed him what moves to get?
I don't know what the whole technique of the whole thing is. I don't know
Good
if you preview
night.
To make sure that it's husband appropriate or not.
He needed the introductory videos.
Right.
Do you think
not
it's
the
all
advanced?
Like...
It could be like all...
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, come
sounds
on.
Like it's... What are you doing?
Sorry.
God.
I'm sorry.
She needed
what?
Like she needed like 2 a.m. Cinemax stuff, not like
exactly.
The hardcore section at Insurrection.
Well, right.
Where they don't really ever show his junk or
beginners,
anything.
Beginners or whatever.
Well, there's another
they call it.
I mean, all of that I think is just kind of it's funny. I laugh at it more than get ideas
well,
from
yeah,
it.
But you don't have to sleep with a man.
That's true. But,
that's so funny to you. Ha, 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 Melissa.
I know, especially when they're slapping against your forehead. You're the one stupid. But no, there's also those, you know, if you look in any of, you know, like the Kama Sutra videos and stuff like that, you know, there's other videos out there that are, I mean, seemingly just as silly, but it's certainly not going to get into crazy
weird,
you know,
with anything, there's like instructional video. You know, you want to play baseball.
Right.
There's actually an instructional video you can go out. Teaches you how to hit.
The Kama Sutra, but it's videos and stuff. They are more instructional than the
right.
The porn
and
stuff.
And there is some adult film stuff that is 101 Basics, Cinemax.
He needs 101.
Stuff, you know, late night stuff.
He couldn't do it from to begin with, and he can't go from not knowing how to do it to advanced. That just doesn't work.
It's not advanced. It's demeaning.
Yes.
I mean, she bought really, really degrading stuff, and now he thinks that she's going to like that?
Wham.
Hey, Ryan, hold on for me one second, right? Because I just got to finish this letter.
No problem.
All right, so again, he's slapping parts of his body on my forehead and face that are inappropriate.
Okay, I am so uncomfortable with us saying that. Let's stop saying that.
And she
stop
says,
saying that.
And she says, and let's just say he's trying to enter the house through the doors on the back deck.
Oh.
Okay. Now I have no way to reverse this, so I'm just giving a little advice to the Burt Show listeners. Be very careful of what you ask for, because you just might get it from angles that you don't think are appropriate. From Lisa in Roswell. Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How are you?
Good morning. All right. How are you, Burt Show?
Good. What's going on?
Tired from
laughing. Love the show, guys.
Thank you.
But hey, I think, you know, she obviously has a guy who wants to know, who wants to do better. She just should just tell him what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she doesn't need videos and all that. I mean, that can be fine, but just tell him what she wants.
Well, you have
she
said that.
She obviously wants to do better.
You say that, and we've talked about that on the show, but we have never really heard a woman call up and say, this is how I handled it with my husband or my boyfriend who was bad at sex. I talked to him about it, and this is how it ended up successfully for both of us. No one has ever done it. We've tried a dozen times.
It's such a sensitive topic, especially if it's somebody that you're sleeping with, you know?
And that's a guy's ego is wrapped up in all that. You tell him he's bad at that. He's been thinking since day one he's great.
Yeah.
Every guy thinks they're the greatest in the world.
You don't have to say that they're bad. You have to encourage what is good and steer the direction to what it is good, what is good for you.
Give us the blueprint. Tell us the exact words to use. I don't want to know the situation. Give us the words, because we would have, I can't think of a scenario where most guys would take it and be okay with it.
Right.
There's no way to describe it on the radio.
There's no get in trouble.
Good morning.
I don't think.
Tracy, you're on the voice disguiser.
Hey, good morning, Burt Show.
Good morning.
What she needs to do is get a couple of videos that are put out by Nina Hartley. She is a veteran film star, and she's also a nurse, and she has a series of videos about how to be a good lover. She can pick up one about how to give certain pleasure and how to receive certain pleasure, and she can say to her husband, I want to, you know, be the best lover I can for you. Let's watch this together, and then, you know, we can watch this other one. They're great videos. They're very erotic. I mean, you know, it always gets you in the mood, but you learn a lot of things, too, without the flapping in the back door and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so there are two of these videos. One is for a guy.
There's more than two. I mean, she has a whole bunch of them that are act-specific, or just how to be, in general, how to be a good lover, how to give certain things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not
yep,
trying to
yep,
be careful.
Yep, yep. Got it.
How to receive certain things, you
right,
know, like
right.
If you want to switch that around, you can, you know, I mean, it can get into some pretty advanced kind of stuff, but I think they need to start at the basic level.
Okay, Nina Hartley.
Mm-hmm.
Nina Hartley, yeah. Right.
Thank you.
It's a great idea.
And here's Melissa on The Voice Disguiser. Good morning, Melissa.
Yes?
Hi.
Hi. I can feel her pain, guys. I have the exact same situation. P.S. I tried the Kama Sutra. Mm-hmm. We tried Time Life videos.
Uh-huh.
We tried everything. And I can't talk to him about it either because he gets very sensitive about it, shall we say.
Did y'all wait to do that until after you got married?
Well, I was a virgin when I got married to him, and he had only done it with one other person of the professional nature, but, you know.
And a professional
nature. Yeah. I didn't think about it at the time. I just kind of thought that we could both figure it out ourselves.
Okay.
And he hasn't been able to figure it out, and how long are we going on now?
12 years.
Oh,
12 years. Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Yeah, so any advice you could throw out there for her or me would be great, because it's very difficult, especially after 12 years, and you start thinking of going in the other direction, which is definitely something you don't want to do.
So you don't know how it could, how good it can be. You just know how bad it is.
Right.
Got you.
Okay.
All right, we're going to try to get you some help here.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's bad. That's real bad.
I'm still looking for the calls that have had the talk with their husband that would be radio friendly, that have worked out successfully. Jamie says she can pull it off.
Okay.
Good morning, Jamie.
Hi.
Hey,
hi.
So we get this email from a Burt Show listener that says that she heard on our show that if your husband or boyfriend's bad in bed, then go out, get yourself some adult films and have him watch them, and he'll learn a couple of moves. The bad part here is that her husband learned all the most graphic and nasty stuff in the adult films, and he's using it on her, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and it's demeaning.
Right. Well, my husband and I are working on 20 years. We have 3 kids. And after a period of time, your body's changed, so what used to work for you stops working, and you have to find something else. And the movie thing is a great idea, but she should have watched them first, mm-hmm. and she should have started off very simple. She should have started off with like one of those 30-minute from Tantra or some company like that, that's mm-hmm. just a simple, almost back to basics, how to have basic sex videos. It's how to touch your partner in certain ways. I can't really get very descriptive because it does get kind of graphic.
Thank you for that.
There are basic videos out there that show how to touch certain body parts and what body part to use, not smacking people in the face with things.
mm-hmm.
And you start out simple. You bring in tools. You bring in like food items and different, change the venue instead of just always having it in one place. Move mm-hmm. it to some other part of your house. And then after you do that a while, you can start building and getting into the more graphic videos.
So that's the suggestion you made initially too, Jen, is that she went for the nasty section when she could have gone for the basic 101 section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she needed to start off a little slower and preview it, you know. I don't know. I just think that there's some of that stuff that can be really gross and dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Sandra, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to say that I've successfully been able to tell my boyfriend, well, my ex-boyfriend, I was 18 at the time, and watching, you know, I learned from my mother at a very young age that tell him what you want in the bedroom right off the bat. So it was very easy. He wasn't that great, kind of awkward, but I told him to just read. Go online, read some stuff, and not watch pornography, because that's the wrong way to go. It's the messy way to go. And I just felt that was the best way, and he actually improved over time.
Yeah, I think at the core, like, every dude wants to be great, you know? But listening to the words that were not would be initially, that would hurt. It would really hurt. But I think eventually we'd get to a place where we want to be with you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I always think there's room for improvement. I do. I always think that there's room for improvement. I don't think it's – I'm not a believer of it. I mean, as long as there's chemistry there, you can change, you know, the way you play the game. And
And what used to work on one person doesn't work on the next – you know, every couple is unique.
Right.
You know, and that means the guy and the girl are going to have unique things and, you know – differences about them and what they like and what they don't like too. And I think overall, as an advice for guys, it's just slow down.
Yeah.
And here, I mean, that is never going to be bad. Right.
Yeah. And I think that's
why are you asking me?
She's looking right at Bert when she say that. But I mean, there's so many factors that goes into it, because not two sessions are going to be the same, because you're not going to feel the same. You're not going to be
that's
in the same mood. Exactly. So I think that people get so discouraged so easily when, you know what, okay, that was a bad game that you just played. Well, you got another game coming up this weekend. You know, play it completely differently. It's going to be fine.
All right, a sports analogy.
That's
now
right.
I
See,
get it.
Yes.
Now I got
so you
it.
Could win your game this weekend. Forget the loss last weekend, Bert. Forget it.
Right?
You're going to win this weekend. Yeah.
Da-da-da. Da-da-da. Now I get it. Hey, Diane. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hello. Hey, I just wanted to tell you guys about a book called Hot Monogamy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, like the quote on the back, it says, if anyone wants to improve their sexual relationship, this is the book to read. And it really teaches you how to talk about sex and how, like you said, so many couples don't, which is really the key. You got to be able to tell them what you want and what you like and what you don't like.
All right. So if you want real concrete data, like hard data, she says Hot Monogamy. And the other one we heard was Nina
Hartley.
Hartley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But don't go to the advanced section at Insurrection. No, he's not ready for that, or she's not ready for that.
No, that's no. Keep the forehead out of it.
Yeah, if it looks like the woman, guess what? If it looks like the woman's not having fun on the video, she's not.
Well, that's the thing, is that they never, they always look like they're having a great time.
Not,
we should sue the industry. I've never watched one where the woman is like, no, don't do that.
I think it's funny. I tend to just laugh out loud. I gotta be honest.
Like Jen said, you think it's funny because you're not having sex with a man.
Even the two girl ones are silly. Whatever.
You take that back.
Here, Bert Show. The Bert Show.
Joanna Rodriguez.
Hi.
Joanna is, you see, I think, you know, we've talked about Wendy and her mojo, dating mojo. I also think there's engagement mojo, and you have none.
No, I do.
You
I
don't.
Have total mojo.
You do not have engagement mojo. This is when people have been going out for a long time, and a woman knows that an engagement is imminent, but she presses and presses and presses.
I'm not pressing.
You are pressing.
I just make little comments here and there. It's not pressing.
It's manipulation. It's different.
Persuasion. But you know what? Last week I told you guys that I thought that I might be getting engaged this weekend. Well, I think he threw me off the scent because we're not going to D.C. anymore.
Okay. Now, what gave you the idea that you were...
A couple of things have been happening. One, I hate to say this. I hope he's not listening. But a couple of weeks ago, we were out and he left his phone in the car. And I found a text message from him to a friend.
You found
one. Yeah, it just fell in my lap.
Right.
Yeah.
So you picked up his phone while he was out of your car and you started snooping through his phone.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it snooping. She was making sure everything was okay.
I'm not snooping because I think he's cheating. I really am just looking for just a hint if he's even looking for engagement rings. Because up until now, I have no idea if he's even been shopping for engagement rings or anything because he's never asked me, like, hey, baby, what do you know?
What a crock. You guys have talked about
married. One day when we get married, but I just don't know if he's actively looking for one. And I want to know, like, time frame wise, when it may happen. So I found a text message from him to a friend asking about his hookup up in Athens for a ring. So now I know he's actively looking for one. And just recently, I found a piece of mail that indicates to me that he's inquired about a loan for an engagement ring.
Okay, yeah, let's back up just a little bit here. You found a piece of mail?
Yes.
Or the piece of mail was wedged in between five other pieces that you were looking through?
Well, actually, it's actually
not
that
bad. She pried it from his hands.
Not that
What's
bad.
The big deal?
I had to take him to get his wisdom teeth pulled, and I had to wait in the office for an hour and a half. And I said, well, what am I going to do for that hour and a half? And he handed me a magazine, and wedged in the magazine was this piece of mail.
Oh, I wonder if he did that on purpose.
No, I really think it was an accident, because when I showed it to him later, he was really kind of... trying to scramble, and he's like, oh, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, oh, so they just randomly send you a letter saying, when you start your new life together, all these options are available to you. So
doesn't it take the fun out of it, though, for you? Like, if you know that it's coming, or you snooped and saw the text message, and then you're checking his mail, which is a little, I mean, you're bordering on crazy. Doesn't it take the fun out of not knowing when it's going to happen?
No, because I don't know exactly when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. So that's the exciting part. I'm excited that we're moving in that direction. That's what I'm excited about. That it's not just in my head anymore. That he's actually thinking, hey, I'm going to marry this girl.
But if you were excited about it moving in that direction and you saw the text message, then why would you look through the mail? If you already know it's heading that way, why keep snooping?
I was sitting in an office for an hour and a half. What was I supposed to do? Just let it sit there and call my name, open me the whole time? Come on.
Will you continue to check his text messages?
No, I won't do that anymore.
So that was the first time you did it.
Yeah, I just did it that one. No, I
You're
swear
liar.
To God
You're
I won't do it because I don't want to ruin my own surprise.
I think you already are, aren't you?
No, because I don't know when it's going to happen. I thought it was going to happen this weekend because we were going to go to D.C. And Jason's the type of guy that I think when he proposes, he'll do it out of town somewhere. I don't think he'll do it here in Atlanta. And so I thought, oh, you know, he's been looking because that text message was from September. So he's been thinking about buying the ring since September. And then that piece of mail was a couple, like 3 weeks ago. So I thought it was going to happen this weekend. And now he totally threw me off. So I don't know when it's going to happen. So that's exciting still.
Why am I the only one being vocal here about this being a little bit crazy?
Well, Jen started the questioning. I think that
you just ruined your surprise.
Yeah, I think I do think that this is the only time a guy is creative about it, secretive about it. They have a quest. Guys love this stuff. And so I think that by nitpicking or manipulating and dropping hints all the time, I do think you're robbing him of his part of this. Because after you're engaged, then he's out of it. I mean, yes, okay, some guys are involved, but seriously, most guys just are out of it.
This is our part of it.
Yeah, this is what a guy's in control of, and it gives him... this is what gives him bragging rights. You know, he, of course, wants to talk about how he tricked the woman and how he proposed to her and what he came up with and who he asked. And so I do think that, you know, you should give him this opportunity instead of
definitely
trying to control it.
She's one so of my not friends, buying into this. No, I see your eyes rolling in your head.
I am. And I swear I'm not looking through his phone anymore. I'm not going to like pick up random piece of mail and open it.
What if you found something that predicted he was going to propose to you in 2 days? Like, that would be kind of a bummer to know you don't want to know that.
That's why I'm not going to do it anymore. I know now that he's actively looking for a ring and that it's going to come sooner than later. So that's all I wanted to know, is that we were both on the same path.
Why was it so important for you to know that? I'm just curious.
Because I love him and I want to spend the rest of my life with him.
No, it's because this is the one thing you're not in control of.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just driving you crazy.
Because you loving him and wanting to marry him has nothing to do with this, you know?
It has, I don't know. I always say, oh, I love surprises, so I don't want to know. But then in the end, I'm like, no, I want to know.
Because the only time I find, like, in mine and Katie's situation, when, you know, there may be jokes or hints about children that come up, because, you know, I've said before that Katie is like her it's in her DNA to be a mom. So if little hints or anything's dropped to just remind me that we need to kind of be thinking about this, it's usually when she's been around her friends who are either pregnant, because she's got a ton of friends that are pregnant right now, and several who have had their children in the past couple years. So I'm also wondering, are you trying to force him to push it sooner than later because you want to beat somebody at something?
No, it's nothing, but I am being surrounded by friends who are getting engaged and who are planning their weddings. My brother just got married. My best friend that I grew up with just got engaged. And then Jason's friend in the Army just got engaged too. So I'm being surrounded with all this wedding talk. I'm going to bridal shows and watching my friends try on bridal gowns.
But if you've learned anything in radio, is you're only as good as what just happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, that people remember the last thing they heard. If you're the last of your friends to get married, your wedding is going to be the one that they remember right. The most. Duh, that all the friends, guess what? We're going to have the last kid and ours will be spoiled.
If I was Jason, I would be jacking with you so badly right now. Like, I'd have my friends text me and then I'd text back if I was Jason saying, today's the day, it's going to happen at noon. Then I'd make a lunch date with you at noon and watch you squirm
right.
at
the whole time.
When it's over. Yes. Yeah.
That's why I think he planted the mail. I think he planted that mail intentionally because he knew you'd be sitting out there with a magazine and handed you that magazine on purpose.
Good morning, Roy, Q100. Hi.
Yeah, I want to make a real clear point on this. My roommate, I have a I'm just gonna throw it out there. She's pressuring my boy into getting married right now. It's the same thing that what she's doing to her guys. Mm-hmm. It's the problem is she's gonna end up pushing him away, because What I'm seeing in this is she's looking around and like y'all were just talking about the competition. There's an underlying competition with her friends on who's getting married next and when it's going to happen.
I will say this: she's not going to push him away. He's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. But he may, like, it'll just be an annoyance to him, which you don't want. Like, you want this to be one of the most fun things he's ever done in his life before. Jason's not going anywhere.
Well,
but he should look at it more like, this is the greatest thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of going, God, I could better do it soon.
It's not a competition because all my friends are already getting engaged, so I'm not trying to beat anybody. And it's like Melissa said, I want to be the last one because I want to get all their ideas.
Thank you.
And steal their ideas and make it better.
There's no rush, ladies. Exactly. Seriously.
And I as far as like an annoyance, I do tell him. I said, baby, if I'm annoying you with all this talk, please just tell me. And he laughs and he's like, oh no, I just think it's funny.
If you have to ask the question, the answer is yes.
You already know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, and it's not about the wedding.
It's what?
It's not about the wedding.
And I think
you're so focused on the wedding.
I think the underlying thing is that I'm ready for him to move up here and be closer and for us to start our lives together. And I'm thinking, oh, the sooner we get engaged, the sooner we can start planning. And then this year can fly by and he can be here and I can be with him.
I think that's true. I mean, no, and not that I'm not saying it's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's part of it, but Yeah, I agree with Jen. I think too many times everybody's into the ceremony. Mm-hmm. You like, have to spend the rest of your life with this person.
Right. Yeah, like what if you know? What if he came to you and proposed to you and said, I just have one thing. We've got to elope. We've got to go to an island.
Your family would never do that.
We got to go to an island somewhere, and it's got to be just the two of us. But, baby, we're going to spend the rest of our lives together. We're going to start our lives together.
If that's what he wanted and he truly felt about it, I would. As long as I can invite my family, because I could never do that without my family.
Just the two of you.
No, if I couldn't do it without my family.
They would never accept that because they're such a tight family.
I'm just trying to put out an analogy there. How important is it to wear the white dress?
No, I think it's a great analogy because I think that that shows the reflection of what you're focused on.
Now, here's a side road we haven't gone down yet. Hey, Carly.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, you know, several years ago, I was in a relationship, and my boyfriend wrote engagement on my Christmas list. And then Christmas rolled around, nothing. New Year's rolled around, nothing. And it was June. And it just tore our relationship completely apart, because all I could think about is, engagement. When is he going to ask me? Well, why hasn't he asked me? And I found out later on, I think, that it was because he was saving up for the ring. But he also did not, he stopped courting me because he was getting money for the ring and stuff like that. And it just tore our relationship completely apart, because that's all I could think about is, why hasn't he asked me to marry him yet?
Did you bug him before that? That wasn't like a hush note?
No, not really.
Okay.
It was so cruel. It was just, you know, it was interesting.
Did
and,
you say
and
cruel?
You know, and like in January or February, he bought me a bridal magazine when we were walking around in the store one day, and still like nothing several months later.
Now I'm from the outside looking in. I kind of just to make the comment, kind of going back on what Jen said about being what you're focused on is. Was that really cruel? I mean, you're with him every day. You're still in a relationship with him. But for her to get
cruel
that he mentioned that he wanted to marry her.
How dare you?
But then
that
didn't.
Was so cruel. He waited till June.
I mean, I don't mean to make fun. And I mean, obviously it was something that was hurtful to you. But I from my perspective, I don't see how that's cruelty
not so
at
cruel.
All.
You're
no, not so cruel.
He was saving up his own money.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't
so
even
cruel.
Have a chance to go down the whole snooping. Street, which I'm going to do with you tomorrow. Going through his phones unnecessarily. There's no need to go through his text messages or his calls.
Is that the only time you've ever gone through his phone?
Yes.
Liar!
I was thinking, because I think a time that he doesn't know about. Other times I've gone through his phone because I needed to get something.
That was my question. Right, Have you been through his phone?
No, just the one time.
Come on.
I swear.
You that you had been through his phone before.
No. Just for this text, for this.
The very first time you snooped through his phone, you
first
saw.
First time I've ever snooped through his phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about his email?
No, I don't know his email stuff. If I did, I
Here, Bird Show.